are listening to the INCJ podcast, Conversations about International Criminal Justice. Welcome to number one in a series called the COVID Practitioner Challenge. I'm John Scott, and this is an INCJ podcast and YouTube. Now, all around the world, COVID-19 has presented a unique challenge over the last year to frontline services, not just in the health and social sector, but in criminal justice sector too. At INCJ, we wanted to find out how people working in frontline services, whether it be in prisons or probation, police or with victims, internationally, how they were handling the issues around COVID-19. So we started a conversation with criminal justice workers to ask about their experience of the crisis. Our hope is that by sharing their answers, we'll find solutions and fresh ideas and highlight how practice will be changed in the longer term. Now, if you want to follow this series, you'll find it on our website at criminaljusticenetwork.net or on Twitter at INTCJNetwork. Let me introduce Mika Merlser, who is a senior criminal sanctions official in Finland, and he works at an open prison. Welcome, Mika. Would you like to tell us where you're based?
Hi, John. Hi. I'm based in Helsinki, our capital.
Okay. Now, are you working at home today or are you at work?
At work.
Right. Now then, tell us about your prison. How big is it?
Well, if you compare it to, like, on international standards, it's not big at all. So we have only 80 places currently. Uh-huh. At normal situation, we would have 90 places, but now, because of the corona, we have only 80 places.
Mm-hmm. And what type of prisoners do you have?
All sorts of prisoners. So we have everything between, you know, short-term people to lifers. So everything in between.
And what's your current job in the prison?
Well, I'm the senior criminal sanctions official, and I'm more of a security guy. So what I'm doing is I'm handling all sort of issues concerning security in our prison, which, well, the stuff I do is quite vast, the area that I need to be handling.
Yeah. And do you work with a team of other staff?
Well, yeah. Well, we have a team that consists of social workers and senior criminal sanctions officials. And of course, then I have a team of prison officers that work sort of for me.
Okay, so you have to manage what they do and make sure that everybody's in on time and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Okay. So it's just, you know, normal prison stuff.
Well, what's normal for you might not be normal for other people. So tell us about the shape of your day.
Well, in short, it's so that I come to my office, then 12 hours later, I leave my office. So it's mainly on sitting in front of computer and writing all sort of, like, well, I'm not sure if statement is the right word, but all sort of documents and, of course, meeting with prisoners as well. But most of the time it's quite lonely work. And
So what sort of engagement do you have with prisoners when you say you meet with prisoners? What topics do you have to discuss with them?
Well, in our prison, we have the system that each worker has their own responsibilities when it comes to prisoners. So I have, I think currently I have 6 prisoners, and I deal everything that concerns those prisoners. So whether they are applying for a prison leave or applying a study permission or whatever the issue is, I deal with it with those six prisoners. So of course, you know, I call these my own prisoners. Mm-hmm. So whatever they have in their mind, I'll, you know, I just chat with them and so on. But then of course, if there are some, you know, misconduct, or since I'm the head of security, if there is some, you know, commotion happening or some misconduct or breaking the rules or whatever, I'm the one who deals with those issues as well. So I'm the one who hears them about it and makes the investigation and so on. Mm.
What's been the main impact of COVID-19 on the lives of prisoners over the past year, would you say?
It might sound a bit dumb, but in our environment, it is the restriction of freedom, since in an open prison, not in normal situation, you would be able to have a prison leave and, you know, meet with your family, have prison meetings and so on. So during this year, we have had times, for example, right now, we don't, of course, there are also always, you know, different things and reasons why someone is given a prison leave, but right now we don't mainly give prison leaves to anyone, except if whenever there is a good reason for it, then it is possible, but right now it's not possible.
And has that meant that the prisoners have been more frustrated and felt more captured and less able to relate to their families and that sort of thing?
Yes, of course. And currently we haven't had like a normal situation with the prison leaves for like, I don't know, 2 or 3 months. So they haven't been able to meet with their families at all. So of course that frustrates most of the people.
Yeah. And has that led to more discipline problems, do you think?
In a way it has. Because normally, in a normal situation, when they have prison leaves and, you know, there is some problem, if they have like a problem between themselves, like two prisoners have problem in here, or if they are, you know, starting to use drugs or so on, they just don't return from the prison leave. So they just don't come back. And that doesn't cause any troubles in here. But now the situation is that drugs are more often used in prison environment. And that affects the whole environment and the whole situation in the prison itself.
So, in a way, the tensions between prisoners are heightened. There's less chance of them having breaks, whether maybe to go to work outside or maybe to go to a family event like a funeral or something like that. So is life in prison more intense, do you think, at the minute?
I think it is, even though, of course, I'm not the one to decide whether it is intense at all, but in an open prison, the environment is more relaxed than in closed prison, of course. So if you compare the tension between open prison and closed prison, it is different even now during Corona. But I have sensed and heard that people are quite, well, I'm not sure if agitated is the best word, but yeah.
More on edge, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I can understand that. Have you had to make changes to the way you work because of COVID-19?
Well, you know, obvious, obvious changes have been using face mask. Normally, we have to, like, of course, I don't use it now when I'm alone in my own room, but normally we have to use them at all times. And other kind of, you know, these prison restrictions that we have had. But in a personal way, it has, well, not personal way, but in an organizational way, the technological leap we have had to make because of COVID has been huge. So, well, good example is that when last year, when this whole situation started, like we didn't have enough webcams in our prison. And then when you had to order webcams to people so that we can make, you know, meetings without seeing each other, the trouble was huge because we weren't able to get those. So the technological leap has been huge.
So technology's been introduced, and that's been a big challenge. Have there been any other challenges to you?
No, I wouldn't say, because from my point of view, the work still stays the same. Of course, there's more tension. There might be different kind of more troubles and different kind of troubles happening in the prison. But in a way, the work's the same.
And so you're relying on what? Your relationship skills to keep things calm?
Yeah. It's the main issue is that we know our prisoners.
Okay.
And we have good relationship with them. We try to have a good relationship with each one of them. So that helps us.
And you said earlier about how you have specific prisoners that you have a key relationship with. And that's all the staff have key prisoners that they work with. And do you discuss, do you meet as a team to discuss how particular prisoners are behaving?
Yeah, well, we have a weekly meeting. And if there is anything that, if I want to, you know, discuss about something or someone's case, then we will talk with everyone. Because, of course, I have a different you know, my professional background is different than to some of our social workers and so on. So then we have like multiple views on how we should now deal with this certain issue.
Okay, that's helpful. So what worries have prisoners brought to you or to the team about the impact of COVID on them?
Well, I think the main issue has been the family issues, you know. Normally, if you have a family emergency thing or, you know, problems with your girlfriend or something like that, we might, you know, grant you a prison leave to make things right or whatever the issue is. But now you're only able to contact them with phone in most cases. So obviously the family issue is probably the biggest thing in prisoners' life.
Yeah, have they been frightened of catching the virus themselves?
I can't talk. You know, I only know those six guys that I have some of them might have some, you know, issues, but I think most prisoners, or most people in general, are a bit selfish. So, you know, if you have to think about whether you are having a prison leave or you know, catching corona, you know, you always want the prison leave, of course. So it's hard to say.
Okay. You mentioned families. What sort of worries have the families had?
Well, everything between earth and heaven, you know, when they are in open prison, we are trying to sort of coach them to the civil world. And The day our prisoners are getting out, the day of freedom is quite close. So the problems are sort of like the normal everyday problems.
Yeah.
So
in normal times, would open prisoners be able to go to jobs during the day?
Yeah. And actually, those who are sort of like working in the community or in the city, they still do. So we didn't end those permits, since obviously they might be, you know, a crucial part of some business or whatever. So they are still going to the work normally.
So if they're allowed to work in the community, open prisoners are also allowed to go to work in the community.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. It's been a challenge for prison services all around the world, and I just wondered if you had a view about what the biggest challenge for the Finnish prison service has been during COVID.
Well, this is my personal opinion, but like, I think the main issue has been for our whole organization is how to keep people safe and healthy, obviously, because the prisons are small societies, and if the virus ends up in a prison, it is quite likely that everyone will get it, and then we would be in a big trouble. But what is good that we haven't had any major outbreaks of the virus in any of our prisons currently, so we have dealt the situation quite good.
Yeah,
but that is something that affects every decision we are making, that whether will this decision help to keep the virus out.
So that's been like the number one priority. The other thing that you mentioned earlier was that clearly they got new technology out to you very early, and they saw technology as being a big help to you.
Yeah, because there are, you know, the meetings, there is like so many meetings we have to have, and the system wouldn't work if we weren't able to discuss with the, you know, the our superiors and so on. And in the Finnish criminal sanctions agency, the whole technological leap is, you know, going forward and forward. We are having these, I don't know what's the right word, but like smart prisons, which will have different kind of technology to prisoners to use and so on. So we are reaching for the future, I think.
So in a way, COVID has moved you quicker into that future.
Yeah, I think it has. I hope that we will stay on this path after the COVID.
Okay, so in a way, COVID has accelerated progress. And one of the things I was also wondering is, has any of ordinary prison officer practice changed as a result of COVID?
I can't really think it has, since, as I said, that in a way that job's the same, even though you use mask, or even though if you meet prisoners via, you know, Skype or something, it's still the same thing you're doing with.
So the basic relationship and getting knowledge about the person that you are key worker to, that stays the key component of being a good prison officer.
Yeah, that's what I think.
And do you think prison will go back to the way it was, or do you think it's going to move forward?
That's an interesting thing to see, whether we will, because nowadays we have, you know, all sort of education and so on via Skype. But when the situation goes back to normal, it might be that there we are in the classroom once again and meeting with each other. I don't know. Let's see.
Well, we're all going to be watching to see what the new normal is going to be.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, look, that's been really interesting. But what I want to do is to ask you to reflect a bit as a person, not just as somebody who has a job, because I'd like to ask how you escape from prison pressures. How do you escape from being a prison officer?
Well, I don't have to escape it, really. I don't feel the pressure that much. And I like my job quite a lot. I like to discuss it and so on. But of course, one needs something to get his head, you know, straight. So what I like to do is, you know, sports, gym, this Scandinavian sport called floorball that I play a lot.
And what's that? What sport is that like? I don't think I've heard of that.
No, you probably haven't. Well, it's like an indoor ice hockey, you could say, without skates, with plastic ball and so on.
Okay. So it's got to be indoor because of the climate. Is it fast and violent?
It's fast, but it's not violent.
Okay, right. But you don't go down ski jumps and float in the air for.
No, I'm worst at skiing, so I'll try. I'm trying to avoid everything that is with skiing.
Okay, so you avoid breaking legs. That's good.
Yeah.
Now, has anything, because COVID-19 has been a very weird time for all of us, has anything made you rethink your approach to work during this weird year?
You know, every now and then you read or see someone acting in a way that then you think that this guy is or girl is doing something like really well, that's something I should be doing. Obviously, but unfortunately quite often it is that the work itself is like putting out fires that you don't really have that much time to, you know, educate yourself or you know, learning a new way to do something. So, but yeah, I often see something that's what I should be doing, but then when you're faced with the reality, when you're just coping and surviving with the workload, then it's quite hard often.
And certainly the pressures of every day quite often don't give you the chance to take a step back and reflect.
Yeah. So in a way, you just keep on doing something that sort of comes in natural. And I think that is often, in my own, you know, way of working, that is the best option.
Okay. Have you started doing anything new in the last year because social life has been so constrained?
Maybe playing more video games.
Okay.
Which isn't necessarily just a good thing, but yeah.
It's a different sort of sport. It'll be in the Olympics next. So yeah. Perhaps you need to get in training so you can represent Finland.
Yeah.
Okay. One of the things I've said to people when I've interviewed them is that I ask all the questions, so it's only fair that you have a chance to ask me a question.
I would like to know how the whole coronavirus thing has affected the line of your line of work. Like,
okay,
what are the differences?
Right. Well, I used to fly a lot. So I used to do a lot of consultancy working with foreign governments, MICA. And my wife is quite pleased about this, I have to say, because it used to mean I was abroad a lot. And that, for some reason, just stopped instantly. So the biggest change in my life is that I'm not flying. And instead, I'm doing loads of international things online and saving all that time in airports and being much greener. So I think, just like you said, that how life is changing onto the internet, I think that's the biggest single change. And I'm having to think how I can integrate Zoom-type connectivity into being able to influence justice issues down a wire rather than have to physically go and have meetings and do advice work without having to travel. So I think that's the biggest impact on me. And I'm hoping actually that the environmental considerations will, and time considerations will have a change. But I do feel less free. And the thing I miss most is meeting with people. You probably spotted I'm an extrovert. I like to be with people. And that's the thing I really miss most.
I think we all do.
So be able to go out with friends or hug my grandchildren. I mean, I just can't believe it's now a year since I hugged my grandchildren. Just ridiculous. So that's the thing I miss most. We're drawing to a conclusion now, and I'm just wanting to ask, I guess, two things really. Do you think anything about lockdown has changed you as a person?
Good question. Maybe I'll see that in a few years, what happened, you know, when you check yourself in retrospect. But I wouldn't say, as I told you, you know, in a way, my hobbies have stayed the same. My family issues have stayed the same. The work is the same. So maybe I am better at enjoying the little things. When you have, you know, this big international, you know, ruckus happening, and then you don't, you know, you don't bother that much by little things.
I can see that. And the last thing I want to ask you is, have you got any COVID-19 advice for your prison colleagues around the world?
Hang in there.
I think that's really good advice. And because COVID-19 is affecting us in prisons all around the world, people are having a tough time. And thanks very much indeed for sharing your experience. It's been fascinating. And we're going to sign off now, and I want to say thank you for being here, and to thank our listeners too. I hope that you will stay safe and that you'll be able to join us next time when we interview a different criminal justice practitioner. Goodbye, Mika, and thank you very, very much. And to remind our listeners that our podcasts from INCJ are available on your normal provider, on iTunes or Google, under INCJ Podcasts. Goodbye, everyone, and thanks for listening. You have been listening to the INCJ Podcast, conversations about international criminal justice. To find out more, go to our website at criminaljusticenetwork.net or follow us on Twitter at INTCJ Network.